2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. BYU defeats St. Mary's Thursday night. Late game, they win 62-52. Giving them their third quad one victory of the year so far. And now they enter the part. Now, you did mention San Francisco. They have a good net ranking. They're a much better team. I remember watching them last year, Mitch, down in Vegas at the WCC tournament. They gave Gonzaga a good run for their money before Gonzaga eventually went on and won the tournament. It seems like a lifetime ago, by the way. It wasn't even a year ago, but it feels like it was 10 years ago, watching basketball in person with fans. It was crazy. And we weren't wearing masks either, which also seems like that's never happened before. So it was an interesting time, but that team has improved. However, I still think BYU is reaching the point of WCC play that they have so many times, and we've seen them stumble so many times, where if they can just take care of business from here on out, and even if they were to lose to Gonzaga, which is seems likely because Gonzaga is just unbelievable right now, and let's say they even lose to St. Mary's at home, but if you win all the other games, I still think you have a great chance of winning the tournament. So this is the part of every year for BYU and the WCC where you have just got to win the games you're supposed to win, and this will be a challenging game tonight at San Francisco, but BYU, I still think, is a better basketball team and needs to win this game.
Yeah, and BYU, you know, they're going to have a tough matchup here with San Francisco's guards. Boye and Shabazz, like last year, they combined for 55 points in the game on the Hilltop. And remember, that was the game that kind of catapulted BYU. After that loss to San Francisco, they won their last nine of the regular season before falling to St. Mary's in the WCC tournament. But that was a turning point for the program at that point, losing to San Francisco. And Boye and Shabazz just went off on BYU. And those guys return in the backcourt for the Dons, and they kind of are the catalyst for that team. And so it's going to be a good guard matchup in this game. You know, I'm curious to see Barcelo and Averett, how they stack up against those guys. Does BYU put Gideon George on a guard like he did against Cousy? I mean, that was a masterful assignment change in-game against St. Mary's. Could Gideon George guard one of these guards from San Francisco? So a lot of different options here in this matchup. I mean, usually games against San Francisco, too, Matt, have always been classics. I mean, BYU's lost here twice the last 2 years. And, you know, I think back to when Nick Emery had like a freshman career high. He had like 30-plus points at San Francisco. Matt Cardellino back in the day had a big game on the Hilltop. So there's always been good games at War Memorial Gymnasium, and I expect another good one. I think San Francisco has the ability long-term to maybe unseat St. Mary's as the third-best program in the WCC potentially. I really like their head coach in Todd Golden.
Yep.
He's a younger guy. Looks like I think he's younger than us. I mean, I think he really is. Like, it's crazy. Now we're getting old enough to where head coaches are younger than us. But San Francisco, the problem with them, though,
he's not is younger that, than us. Just throwing
how
that
old
out
is
there.
He? He's 35.
35. Yeah.
Okay, but. We're getting there, though. But the thing is that...
I'm not ready.
The thing is with San Francisco is that they can beat a Virginia like they did that this year. They beat Virginia, who still is the defending national champs, oddly enough, somehow, some way. But yet they'll also lose to UMass Lowell. Like, that's the problem with all the teams in the WCC is that, yeah, they'll be competitive one day against a name brand program, but then the next week they lose to some scrub. And you're like, how did that happen? Like, that happens far too often in this conference. And San Francisco's got to kind of end that. And they look at these opportunities, dare I say, as no pun intended, a golden opportunity to make waves in the WCC playing against a team like BYU.
It's interesting, too. BYU just dominated San Francisco when they entered the WC, just dominated. They won 14 of the first 15 matchups against San Francisco. Well, things have changed. USF has won 3 of the last 4. The Cougars haven't beaten the Dons on the Hill since the 17-18 season. So it's not going to be a quad one win, but this would be another opportunity to maybe move yourself off the bubble. Because, look, any way you make the tournament, that's great. But I would hope that BYU can take care of business, beating St. Mary's at home, beating San Francisco on the road and at home. You do those things, I think you avoid a play-in game. I think that you're squarely a, now, albeit lower seed, at-large team, but maybe, what, you're a 9-10 seed? So there's certain value here in beating a San Francisco team, which there's no doubt that this team is improved. And if they're not the third-best team in the conference right now, they're easily fourth, right? I mean, them and St. Mary's are, I think, interchangeable in that third spot. And so, regardless of what conference you're in, if you can beat the third and fourth best teams home and away, that's huge when it comes to building a tournament resume.
And the thing is, too, Matt, is that BYU, they have to go on a run. They have to capitalize on opportunities against a team like San Francisco, because you look at the bubble right now. Some of the teams on Joe Lunardi's last four in, you know, maybe the last four buys, the first four out, there is some name brand programs. And I'm not going to lie, Matt, that scares me a bit, because we know when it comes to BYU and selection committees, our dear friend Mark Duran always says, knock them down three seeds, but then lower than what you're projecting, because BYU, for whatever reason, just is not in the good graces of selection committees in college sports. So when I see North Carolina as a bubble team, when I see Duke as a bubble team, Syracuse a bubble team, you mean to tell me come selection Sunday that the committee won't put those brands in over BYU? Hopefully they wouldn't. They would look at actual resumes. But as we see all the time in college sports, usually the name brands always win the day. So it's like BYU has to take care of business. Games like this are critical. It's almost like BYU is kind of in a survive and advance mode in some capacity right now. I know road games, especially quad two like this one against San Francisco, are difficult, but I don't feel like this conference gets enough respect with how good it is. I mean, last night we see Pepperdine, you know, giving Gonzaga all they could handle in the first half. I'm thinking, how is that possible? This Gonzaga team will absolutely obliterate BYU. But the thing is that they got to win as many games as possible and not give the committee any reason to point to them and say, oh, well, you didn't win that quad two game against San Francisco. You lost by 10, and that's ultimately going to knock you out. So this is a huge game for the tournament resume for BYU. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They got to get this thing done today.
All right, we got to take a break here, Mitch, on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, the head coach of BYU basketball, Mark Pope, will join the program as we get ready for tonight's matchup against San Francisco. So Coach Pope coming up next here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.